entered the argument that they stood up for small business. If you ever have a visitation from one of the representatives, head for the hills, run. They're not a mom and pop unless the kids turn out to be the Koch brothers. The Koch brothers, backed this group, the NFIB, gave millions to small business, the lobbyists and affiliated groups, to the tune of $2.5 million from Freedom Partners. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce, of course, would be the parent of the whole enterprise. It's a conservative advocacy group with deep ties to the Koch empire. And of the five men that sit on the group's board, four are current or former employees of Koch companies, and one is a close personal friend of Charles Koch. Freedom Partners gave the NFIB $1.5 million last year, the biggest single contribution the federation received. All these numbers are coming from tax records. There are other reports. The Koch-backed group, though, gave three other NFIB-affiliated groups another $1 million, making the Freedom Partners among the top two biggest contributors to the NFIB. Now, this is supposed to be a small business advocacy organization. Take a look at some of their positions. And as far as environmental issues go, they are abysmal. It simply does not get any worse. And yet none of that is presented as part of their platform when they come calling and knocking. They're actually made tea for these people. And there's something very wrong with the official story about the Boston bombings. There are gaping holes in the story about the largest alleged terrorist attack on American soil since 9/11. There's a website, Who, What, Why. They have launched an investigation and found what they call serious factual inconsistencies in accounts provided by the only witness to be alleged to the alleged confession of the Boston Marathon bombing suspects. This story, as it turns out, has many different tributaries. There are a great many people and stories flowing into it and, in fact, out of it. And it is not as simple as it may have apparently appeared on the surface originally. And, of course, that's the way it was intended to be kept, too. All of this new material coming out, never supposed to come out. More stuff comes out all the time. This is because we have people like Edward Snowden, whistleblowers, to thank for this, because they'd rather have it come out with an official seal of approval than to have some renegade resistant activist voice present all of these facts that they would rather keep quiet about. You might even hear some of it in a Dave Rovick song. Now, the government wouldn't like that very much. So there is something that doesn't smell quite right about that official story. And it's a sign of the pipeline times. Yep, the Keystone cops are giving it that old Hail Mary try. 28 Democratic Party members held an overnight Senate session to raise the alarm over climate change. This seems good, but a little bit late out of the starting gate. The Senate's efforts to amplify the issue of global climate collapse lasted for 15 straight hours. But come on, guys. Some form of action and radical action has to be taken, and has to be taken right now. And even if it is, we're well past the tipping point here. And whatever we do, the first step to take is no step at all, is to stop the consumption, to put the brakes on, and give the earth itself a little bit of time to catch its breath, and all of us to think about what we've done and how we're going to back out of this particular hole. As far as climate collapse, we are just beginning to, ha ha ha, no pun intended, see the tip of the iceberg with this past winter. And little more than a week after 9/11, Kofa Black gave instructions to his CIA team before their mission. He said this. He said, "I don't want Bin Laden and his thugs captured. I want them dead. I want to see photos of their heads on pikes." It's wonderful. We're such a civilized people, aren't we? Right? Compared to those barbarians in foreign climes. Kofa Black continues on what Bin Laden's head shipped back in a box filled with dry ice. Well, that's decent. He says, "I want to show Bin Laden's head to the president. I promised him I would do that." spoken like a true American. And an Oregon election year this year looks like it may be full of surprises, and that does indeed make things a little bit interesting. The pending settlement agreement between the city of Portland and the U.S. Department of Justice over police misconduct isn't toothless and includes a rigorous enforcement mechanism, and that's the official term for it as it stands, according to the attorney for the Portland Police Union in the filing. Came out on Tuesday. "No one who has had an encounter with the Portland police can truly feel safe any longer. This is an honest assessment. If you feel safe around cops, you are a very wealthy individual indeed." More news. There was a building, one dead so far is the tally, sad accident in Harlem building collapse there. We've got a bit of an update for you on that. And first, though, let's get through weather for Cascadia, because after all, this is where our feet are. In fact, planted no matter what happens in the rest of the world, this is where we ultimately take our stand, whatever it is that we might stand for. Today, sunny with a high around 67. Haven't seen that for a while. Light variable winds tonight, mostly clear skies, lows around 36. And for tomorrow, partly sunny, highs around 60. Tomorrow night, for a slight chance of rain moving in again. And lows around 42, calm winds. For our alternative outlook, the moon is 11 days old. It's a leaf moon in Cancer, wax and gibbous moon. The synodic forecast, they suggest sowing vegetables that produce internal seed-bearing fruit. The biodynamic forecast, moon in Cancer, so water sign, good time for leaf plants, not so good, not so much for fruiting plants, sidereal outlook. Moon in Cancer is a good time for germination. Yes, indeed, it is. And that's it for both the conventional and the alternative forecasts. And regarding the Mumia Abu-Jamal reporting that has been going on, we would like to try to get to straighten that out, because the more that you look and sort through, and it's important to do that, the conventional media and the way that the story is being presented, the more transparent it is that the mainstream media's approach to anything that threatens status quo and the establishment and version of a story, anything, is immediately hammered down. And in this case, the Prison Radio Project has been very vocal and very insistent on the truth, however inconvenient it might be. Well, returning it to Cascadia, because, again, this is where we are. It was not that long ago, just last month, protesters chanted "No More Killer Cops" outside of the Mark O. Hatfield U.S. Courthouse in Portland. The testimony from members of the public on the city's pending settlement agreement with the U.S. Department of Justice on a package of Portland police reforms was not greeted with credulous acceptance. Portland Police Union, the Albina Ministerial Alliance, responded to the federal judge's questions. The pending settlement agreement between the city and the U.S. Department of Justice, is not toothless and includes rigorous enforcement. You know what? This is going on the website. This has been Air Cascadia for Wednesday, March 12th, 2019. 2014. Tammy Dean, engineer of the show today. Thanks for that, Tammy. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Today on Flashpoints, we'll feature the second of two reports from Fukushima, Japan, 3 years after the meltdown and tsunami there. Also, a new report strongly suggests that people living around the San Luis Obispo nuclear reactors in California are suffering substantial negative health impacts. And we'll feature a special report from Robert Perry on the real politics driving the Ukraine. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. We continue our drumbeat reporting related to the third anniversary of the nuclear meltdown and tsunami in Japan, Fukushima, Japan. Yesterday, we heard from our special correspondent who works with KPFA, Steve Zeltzer, who was on his way to a massive and major protest in Japan. And Steve joins us again from, well, where are you now, Steve?
I'm in Sendai, again, which is about 60 miles from the plant, the Fukushima plant.
Tell us about what the activities were about, the mood, some of the people that you met.
Well, the mood was that people are going to continue fighting. It was a rally. It was held in Koyama, which is about 30 miles from the plant in the Fukushima project. It's a city near Fukushima, near the Fukushima plant. We came to the rally, and as we got there, people were coming in. There was a farmer outside protesting, and the farmer has decided that he's going to stay with his cows until they all die. And he was very angry about the fact that that this happened and could have been prevented.
He's refusing to leave his area in the toxic.
That's right. He's refusing to leave the farm because the cows still are there, and he wants to take care of them until they die. They're getting radiation illness. The cows, but he's made a commitment that he's going to stay with them until they all die. And he's very angry. I mean, one of the things about the people of Fukushima is a lot of them have great depression and stress. We visited a citizens clinic, the only citizens clinic in Fukushima that treats children, and they talked about the fact that the government basically has an assembly line treatment, and people are told not to worry. Thyroid cancer can just be, you could take care of it with surgery. And there was a report last night actually on television, in Fukushima television, showing that, in fact, the government is lying, the government doctors are lying to the people of Fukushima, that, in fact, thyroid cancer cannot just be taken care of with surgery. So there's a propaganda campaign going on here in Fukushima and in Japan that they can overcome radiation, as I reported earlier. And there were also students there from different universities who are reporting that they're being repressed. They're being charged with disturbing the peace for handing out flyers against the burning of nuclear rubble and against nuclear power plants. And at the rally, as we went, we marched through the town and went to the station, JR station, there were some rioters who were quite friendly with the police. So the repression and the secrecy laws, which have just been passed, are being used to silence people and basically prevent any kind of mass protest. At the rally, there were students who spoke and workers, there were contract workers, and the government now is in control of TEPCO Corporation, which runs Fukushima plant, and they've allowed the use of contract workers through the Yakuza. So the government actually is in business with the Yakuza, allowing the Yakuza to bring in these workers, and we heard a report that many are not even being registered when they go into the plant so that they're not entitled to health care, and also that they get when they get sick and overdoses, you can't tell because they haven't been registered. These are the contract workers at the plants.
And how are they recruiting workers? Are workers desperate? Are they made aware of the dangers? What is the...
Well, okay, 30% of the workers in Japan now are temporary workers, and many of them are in desperate shape. So there's day laborers, particularly in Osaka and other places where they're recruiting agencies that recruit these day laborers. They're not told about the dangers, and they're not given any special training, health and safety training, when they go in the plant. They're just brought in and start to clean up the plant. So these workers are basically being used as cannon fodder, and some of them are not only day laborers, but also immigrant workers who are being used as well to clean up the plant. And as I reported earlier, the government now is saying that they can turn a business into decommissioning, decontaminating other nuclear plants around the world from the lessons they've learned. But one of those lessons, apparently, is you don't have to pay the workers and properly train them to work in these nuclear plants.
Steve, you talked about the farmer staying with his sick and dying cows. So people aren't forced, they haven't all been forced to evacuate, and so and you talked about children being treated. Are there still kids within the polluted region?
Yes, there are over 100,000 kids, and the reason that they have not left is that the government actually is not compensating the families and the children to leave.
You're saying there's 100,000 kids? Did you say kids living within the toxic areas?
That's right. There are 100,000 kids, and they're kept in the schools. Mothers are afraid to have their kids leave their homes. So this is causing a great deal of stress because children are not being allowed to play by some mothers, while other parents allow their kids to play outside. And, of course, if you play outside, then you get further contaminated. There are hot spots in Japan. The government refused to list a survey of all the hot spots in Japan because they're not just in the Fukushima area. Even in Tokyo and other parts of Japan, there are nuclear hot spots. I mean, the plume from the plant, there were plumes, radioactive plumes, went over the city of Fukushima and other parts of Japan. So people are still being contaminated. There's still cesium